We're going to cause trouble.
Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. Farrell on the bench with Carver High tonight. I will say this about the skunk dog, Carver High. I said this to you in the break. It's very concerning to me. Like, at some point, don't you realize, like, you would think, you know, I mean, a dog knows everything. Like, when I, you know, if I say something to the dog, he knows exactly what I'm saying. People say the dog, my dog, the son says the dog doesn't understand a word you say to him. And I just don't believe that. When I tell the dog to do this, that, it does it. When I say you want to go take a nap, the dog runs upstairs, jumps in the bed. He knows where I'm going. He knows, like, everything I say to him, he knows how to react. I'm like, you want to go for a walk? He freaks. He knows everything. So what I don't understand is, how do you not realize that for, like, the fifth time you've been sprayed in the face by this animal you keep being infatuated with, this skunk? And he's had about five skunk sprays where the skunk has got him. And then tonight he finally gets the skunk, and he killed it and ate it. He ate the skunk. And now he's sick. He's vomiting. He's losing his mind. He's out there. He's burning. His eyes are burning. His face is burning. The skin is burning. He's soaking wet. He's covered in blood. He's got foam all over his body and face and teeth and fangs. He's covered in it. And meanwhile, he's just in agony, and he's hurling and everything else. And I'm thinking to myself, at some point, don't you realize that after four times you've been sprayed by this thing, not to go near it? Don't you adapt and be like, you know, every time I go near this black animal with the white stripe on him, every time I go near him, I end up in the garage in a cage with my eyes burning. Don't you, Carver High, at some point pick up on it? And then tonight he eats the thing and gets doubly sick, doubly burned, doubly covered in blood. He's a mess. He's an absolute sick as a, I mean, you can't even fathom how sick the dog is right now. Dying, he's out there like dying. I don't know what's going on. And don't you like adapt and be like, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't like try to eat the black animal with the white stripe. Maybe there's something wrong with every time I go near this thing, bad things happen. You don't think that the dog ever adapts to it, or he just sees the skunk and has to catch it? Like, and this is the same dog that will chase a 1,000-pound buck for a mile. He'll chase a buck for a mile, like a giant deer with antlers. He'll chase it for a mile. He'll literally run after the thing until the thing's two counties over. The dog will chase any animal, fox, coyote, bear, deer, cats, dogs, skunks. It's a savage. The dog's a savage. You don't think, Carver High, at some point you adapt to, okay, this animal here is spraying me with some kind of liquid and it makes me catch on fire, and my eyes are burning and my mouth's burning and my whole body's itching and I'm in agony and I'm stuck in a cage. Don't you think you adapt after a while?
You would like to think that eventually, yes, that would happen, but all animals are different. And it's just the way it goes. So now he's got to spend the night in the cage, maybe even longer. That's the way it is.
So you went to the free agency barbershop today and got the clean cut. And did you like the free agency hire that you've – let me ask him in a second. I want to welcome our radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Channel 204, Mighty Ear 1090 in San Diego, Sports Map Radio Network, Sports Byline USA, and Armed Forces Radio all over the world. Hoorah, soldier, hoorah. It's Farrell on the bench with Carver High. Are you pleased with the free agency signing of the new barber?
Yeah, I mean, listen, you're still in definitely a probation period. It's not something that you want to just sign off and, like, I'm officially signed on with this place now. You go once, and it turned out good. You got to go back another time, make sure you get the same performance. You know, you need to make sure that things are steady. And then after a couple trips, that's when you sign the deal and you say, this is my spot now. This is where I come. Just like the place I was going to, you know, when I moved into the area, found my man Alex. And after a couple times, I said, this is it. I'll sign on with this guy. And now he's gone and I have to start the process over. It's just the way that life goes.
And then you never heard ever what happened to the other guy? You don't know where he ended up or anything?
No, it's kind of bizarre because when, you know, in the middle of COVID, I'd say around June or July, he opened back up, you know, when they let the barbershops reopen in New York State. And he was in there. I got a cut from him. He was the first cut I got after doing those ones in the house myself. And I went back a cut or two later, and he was gone. His name was gone. And then there's three other people in there, and he used to work by himself. He owned the place. That was it. So he clearly sold the place and all the equipment to these other guys, and he skipped town. And I know he had a place in Florida, so maybe he hightailed it down there.
Did you end up in the same place with the other three guys?
Yes, I did go there. I gave them a shot first. They're the reason why I had to turn around and try somewhere else. There was an unsatisfactory first attempt.
But you went to them. You went right back
first,
to the well
got,
and gave
they got the first. They got the first crack. Didn't go well.
Oh wait, so you went to them first and they screwed it up, and now you went to another place entirely to get it cut. That's correct. Unbelievable. Carver High with his clean cut today. Thrill on the bench, some absolutely crazy games tonight everywhere across the board. Namely, let's start with the NBA, right? The Sixers beat the Jazz in overtime, 131-123 in the extra session, and Spida had 33. I think he got tossed in overtime. He snapped on the refs. JoJo had 40 and 19, the double-double. Harris had 22 and 10, the double-double. So, big night for JoJo. Anyway, in this game, just so you know, Spida said afterwards about the refs, quote, "It's Pharrell and ridiculous. It's really getting out of hand." He got ejected in the final minute of overtime as Embiid drops 40 and the Sixers win it. And his three, Embiid's three, forced overtime against the Jazz. He drilled the three to tie it at 118 and send the game into overtime. So Embiid coming up big tonight in Philadelphia against the Jazz. That's enormous right there. And the numbers to back it up. All right, how about this? Left and right, there was crazy games. The Pistons beat the Raptors in Miami, 129-105. That had to roast. It roasted me. The Bulls beat the Pelicans. The Pelicans have been hot. They are at home in New Orleans. They got beat 128-124 in a wild game. LaVine went off in this game. And then the Mavericks beat the Thunder 87-78. Hornets blew out the T-Wolves. Hit all those bets, money line and spread. Hornets 135-102. I always want to see now. It's crazy, but I got to see every night what Ball does. He had 19-7-5, four threes. This guy produces even when he does nothing. I mean, honestly, even when he does nothing. Scary Terry with a 31 spot. Hayward, 23-5-9. Hawks, 115-112 over the Magic. I think that number was 4. I was on the Magic, and then I laid it with Atlanta after they beat the Heat last night. I said they'd win again. They did, but they didn't cover. Nets win cover 132-114. Pacers beat the Cavs by 3 in the end. How about McConnell? I told you the guy had a triple-double with 10 steals. That's crazy. 10 steals. He had 9 steals in the first half. That's insanity. At the half at the Moda in Rip City, the Blazers trail the Warriors, who seldom come out to play, 56-55. And then at the half at the Golden One in Sacktown, the Kings lead the Lakers 63-61. I just want to tell you who's in that lineup. Morris, Kuzma, Jones, Schroeder, Caldwell Pope, Fudley, Dudley, McKinney, Harrell, Matthews, and Horton Tucker. There's your Lakers squad against the normal rollout for the Kings. The Kings were laying 3.5 at home, and they're up 2 on the Lakers at the half. You were on the Lakers still in that game, weren't you, Carver High?
I was still on the Lakers. I just refused to lay points with the Kings, even against the Lakers' backups. I can't trust the Kings ever.
Ever in any game ever.
Ever.
And that's it. And that's it in the NBA. Are you watching the... I just noticed that I had that offering on TV, the Blues and Ducks. What could be worse? 2-1 Blues lead the Ducks. How about your boy Babcock is doing the NBC game? Do you notice this?
Yes, he's been part of the studio crew on NBC on Wednesday nights. He's been doing it.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. Even though he just took that job to go, job to go coach that high school or college team in Canada. But he's still going to do this, I guess.
Oh, so he's doing that and this? He's doing both?
I would assume so.
But you just tell me he's coaching some college team?
Yeah, he just got hired. A college in Canada. Let me get you the exact name here.
I mean, that's kind of surprising, isn't it, to you? Because I would think, I was just going to say to you, he would take a job in the NHL so fast your head would spin if... it was offered to him right now. He'd walk right out of that studio in 5 minutes and catch a plane to the city to sign the contract. Would you agree with that?
Probably, yes. 2 weeks ago, he was hired as the head coach at the University of Saskatchewan. He'll be the new head coach of its hockey program. Babcock played 1 season at the school during the 81-82 season before moving to the WHL. He will replace longtime coach Dave Adolph, who retired after 27 seasons on the job. So Saskatchewan University for Mike Babcock. There you go.
Jesus. honestly, like at this point in my life, can I just say, what is going on there? can I say, how the mind has fallen? What is that about? Like, I don't even understand that. Like, I guess I can feel the love of the alma mater and that he played there back in the disco 80s. But you're telling me that this guy was at the height of excellence in the NHL. He was my worst nightmare for 2 seasons when the Penguins played him in the Stanley Cup Finals back-to-back, right? And then what did he take? What job? Toronto, right? He went up to Toronto thinking he could conquer that nightmare, and he got whacked there too. Isn't that about right?
Well,
I think that's
the only place he got whacked because
Detroit didn't whack him.
Detroit did not whack him. He left Detroit on his own accord.
Right.
But there was, of course, these allegations, some players of verbal abuse with the Red Wings. And there's some things behind the scenes with Babcock that could prevent him from coaching again in the NHL. But he will. I can guarantee coach in the NHL again. You know he's going to get bored stiff of being the head coach of the University of Saskatchewan. Okay, that is just not going to happen. Now, he's still getting paid, but the Leafs are probably giving him $7 million a year for like the next 2 or 3 years. So he's got, once that money runs out, trust me, he'll be ready to coach in the NHL again.
So what happens is when you have a deal, if you have a multi-million-dollar deal as a coach in the NHL and you get fired, they have to honor the contract unless you get a job that pays you more money than the one that they're paying you on. And the minute you go over that, they're done paying you. It's like alimony when the chick, let's just get down to business. If the wife leaves, they get a divorce and they have alimony. If the wife ends up with another guy, I think for the most part, that's making money if you will, and that she reobtains that lifestyle, correct? I've seen this before. Fair enough. That they, that's the end of having to pay him. That they now are with someone else, so they've moved on. They have a new life. They're living with someone. They have become the provider in that relationship, and you're done giving them alimony. It's no different than those contracts, right? Like, it's simple. The guy is owed money. They have to pay him. And the minute he gets a better job, they're done paying him. That's exactly what happens in pro sports. Boom. And then I'll tell you what else. The contract I told you about, that Archie Miller's contract, when they fire his ass at Indiana, they owe him full. They owe him a full 10 mil right now. But if they fire him next March, they pay him half of that to go away. So think about that. Like, and I skipped math class that day to get a bag of reefer. I was very busy that day. I didn't have time for math class. So the Blues lead the Ducks after 2-1 on the Pond in Anaheim. Vegas up 2-1 in the second on the Wild. Another good game between those two going on in Sin City to make it a hub. Beautiful day on Long Vegas, baby. Coyotes lead the Kings 3-1 in the second. 6.5 to go. Carver, how you got a over going on that game tonight? You need two goals.
Yeah, we need two more in this one. We've got the over 5.5 between the Yotes and the Kings. A scoreless first, but we had a explosion. We had four goals in about a 5-6 minute span here in the middle of the second period. Bunch of power plays, which has put us back in the mix. So we need two goals here over the next 24 minutes.
Avs Sharks scoreless after one at the Tank. Capitals beat the Bruins in Boston as Zdeno Chara went home to Beantown and stole one in a shootout over the Bees. Big win for the Caps, and the Leafs destroy the Oilers 6-1 in Edmonton for Alberta. VC scored twice. Frederick Anderson made 26 saves. He returned from injury. Leafs, a three-game sweep of the Oilers with a 6-1 win. That's ugly for Edmonton right there at home, losing by 5 goals to Toronto. Toronto just continues to kick ass and take names inside that Canadian division, Carver.
They certainly do continue to kick ass and take names, and you're starting to hear now, Scotty, everybody, well, maybe it's not just a division. Maybe the Maple Leafs are this good. And they are going to run away and hide. They're going to have the most points in the NHL this year. Hands down. They will have the most points. All these teams suck. Every single one of them. Edmonton sucks. Montreal sucks. Ottawa sucks. Vancouver sucks. Just keep bringing them off. You know, it's only one team that I actually think is pretty good in that North Division along with Toronto, and that's Winnipeg. I think Varelipeg is good. And I think Varelipeg is the one team out of all those awful teams. Calgary stinks too. Out of all those awful teams, I think that Varelipeg is the one team that will knock Toronto out before they reach the Final Four. And Toronto must love this. They're racking these teams every single night. They're making them look like world beaters. But Toronto this year, no Boston, no Tampa Bay, no Philly, no Islanders, no Vegas, no Colorado. They're only playing these hack teams. And I'm not telling you the Maple Leafs are a bad team. I'm telling you they are going to get overhyped because they are putting a beating on these awful teams that they got put with this year.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's pretty obvious. I'm still fascinated by the surprising turn of events for Babcock.
Saskatchewan.
I looked up and I was like, remember when I saw him, I'm like, bro, is that Pete Babcock? Is that his name? I think that's his name, right? Mike. That's even better.
Your boy, Pete Babcock.
No, listen, do you remember who Pete Babcock was? He was the GM of the Atlanta Hawks.
There you go. Pete Babcock.
That's so funny. I called him Pete Babcock. That is awesome. Meanwhile, Mike Babcock's the guy we're talking about. So Mike Babcock, when I saw him tonight, I almost fell over because I hadn't seen that guy since it didn't work out, right, in Toronto. And then he, like, disappeared, right?
Listen,
and
then he's still walking in the bank every 2 weeks. That's for sure. So he's still getting those checks. He's getting those checks. He's getting that Toronto, that Maple Leaf Enterprise money. He's getting it.
They're paying him off. Are they paying off the coach before him, too?
Probably. Okay. I mean, probably.
Some of these franchises paying your boy
Randy
guys.
Carlisle. They're still paying Randy Carlisle off too.
Listen, don't go there. He was a great Penguin.
Yes.
Randy Carlisle. I grew up with Randy Carlisle. He was like their defenseman. He was the man. And he didn't wear a helmet either. I saw him play with no helmet.
Few did back then.
You know, just with the... Oh, yeah, he had the hair flowing, the whole deal. He had, like, a mullet going. He had the feathery hairdo, like he was in a, like, I don't even, they didn't even have boy bands back then. It's a boy dance party. I think it was, seriously, like, you know what I mean? Like, one of them hair bands. That's what, he was maybe in Striper or something. Do you remember them? He's like, no. Anyway.
Striper was a good 80s band.
So there you go. Do you
and
listen
we use
to
good.
Nation?
We use good.
Not serious.
Very
do you listen?
Good is a tough word. I don't know if good was the one we wanted to go there, but yeah, Hair Nation's great. It's on the preset, right next to channel 204.
So, which ones do you like? Do you like the? Do you go up the food chain? Do you go Hair Nation to Boneyard into
my five that I have on the main preset on the car is obviously us on 204 now. That's number one.
Right.
And then number two, we've got Turbo. We've got Lithium.
Got Howard.
We've got Octane.
I like Turbo
and, Howard
and Lithium.
There too. Yeah. Turbo, Lithium,
like,
and Octane.
When you listen to the, Lithium, who do you like the best on there? That band Live, they play them a lot. You know what I mean? It's
yeah,
like
I mean, well,
90s...
listen, that's my stuff. I mean,
Pearl Jam, what do you got?
That 90s rock, I mean, that's what that's my teenage years. I mean, that stuff,
you know what
is
I heard
sacred.
Today when I was dropping it, I was at the gym dropping a yam in between. I had boxed, I had kicked, I had ran, I rode a bike, and I walked right uphill like a mountain. Woo! And then, you know what I listen to? I'm in the bathroom busting off a yam. And, you know, In Excess comes on. The One Thing. What a great song it was. Remember that guy, Michael Hutchins? He was the lead singer. I think he had an
great
unfortunate
talent.
Ending.
He did. Great talent.
I know just what you do to me, the way you move. I know. Imagine hearing that song when you're busting off a yam. Honestly, I needed to be dancing at that point with a hottie.
Now, I can't help
you know
it
I mean?
That I'm custom made. I can't help it that I look good, smell good, can't dance all night long. I can't help it that I'm the greatest wrestler alive today.
Woo! Woo! That is fantastic. Woo! Hey, so I do want to get involved in some massively disappointing things that happened tonight in college basketball. One of which was me going on record saying that Maryland was my favorite play tonight. And because we had disrespected them. Remember earlier last week, we disrespected Maryland. And then they kicked ass and made us look like fools. And I'll tell you which game.
You morons!
It was bad. What happened was we talked about how they had, you know, kicked everyone's ass. I mean, going way back, they had literally, they beat Minnesota, Nebraska twice, Maryland, Rutgers, they beat at Rutgers. Then they beat Michigan State, and then they lost tonight at Northwestern to the Wildcats, the lowly Wildcats of Northwestern. Beat Maryland tonight in Evanston on the north side of Chicago. And that's just that's when you know your girlfriend's cheating on you. When you lose to them, you know she's cheating on you. You're off watching them lose. She's back there just absolutely making plans. It's all happening. As you're losing to Northwestern, that really that ruined my day. It really did. Here's some other ones. I picked that Abilene Christian for you, Carver High. They won that game against Stephen F. Austin, 63-61. That was a great play, the last play of the day. Woo! San Diego State. I took the Aztecs. They did not cover, unfortunately. I think they were laying 11, right? And then they won 71-62. They didn't get it done. A&M was getting 5.5. They lose by 6 at home to Mississippi State. The bad beat. Drag. Colorado State over New Mexico. But I think New Mexico covered the number. They lost 87-73. I think they covered. I could be wrong. I could look it up right now. They got 18. They covered. Check out. Belmont did not cover against Edwardsville, 78-61. They were laying 19. Fail. Penn State got it done and covered against Minnesota. Boy, Minnesota, Patino's packing his bags. He's on the phone to his old man right now asking for a loan to get a ride home. He's going to work for him at Iona. St. John's wins, covers at home against Providence. Oregon State beat Utah in Salt Lake, fail. Missouri beat Florida. We made fun of Missouri for a week, and then they beat Florida tonight. But a facial on us. I hit UConn at Seton Hall, Wichita State at Tulane. Oregon beat UCLA, NC State over Notre Dame. Pharrell on a bench. So Cuse beat Clemson today at the Carrier Dome in the early evening. And then afterwards, Jim Boeheim was a D.
I mean, geez.
Reporter. Did you see
sent me that? Yeah, you sent me that video of it. And
that's not look for the old man.
Just what a D. I mean, it's amazing. Like, and it's all year, every year now. We will have that outstanding footage on Coast to Coast tomorrow, 4 p.m. East. Channel D.
What a D. I mean, honestly, like, can I just tell you a story once? I got to remember exactly what he said to me, but so I was at SNY one day, TV, right? And I'm doing, you know, I worked there every day for a few years there. And I did, like, whatever, two shows, Daily News Live. I think I did Wheelhouse. I did these shows, right? So here comes Boeheim one day in there. And I don't know what he said to me, but he was just a D. All I remember is I told him all I had to do was say I went to Indiana and I worked for Knight, and he lost his mood. He lost.
Did he dead fish you? Did he dead fish you?
No, he didn't dead fish me. He just you know, completely treated me like crap from that second on. Just like, I mean, just turned on me like a sieve. He just went like, just like his arm fell off, right? Like it just ended right then and there. He looked at me and I was like, as though I was an enemy immediately. Like as if I had, you know, I touched a nerve with him, obviously, because, you know, I'm sure it's, he didn't like Knight. And I think that, you know, he certainly didn't like Indiana beating Syracuse when they were up 13 with 3 minutes to go and blew it. So I'm sure that's one of those ones he loses sleep over. But he was just a D. And I remember I used to tell the story all the time. And it was definitely a better story than the one I just told. Because I remember him saying something to me, like, snide. And I never forgot it. Like, I was like, you know. I just, first of all, you know, I think he's kind of a crusty old D to begin with. I just think, you know, remember when all the problems happened up in his basketball program with his assistant coaches? And that was really, I think, the point when he really started turning into a D, right? I mean, you can't even argue it. You can't even argue it. All you have to do is watch this clip that I'm going to play tomorrow on the TV show. That all you have to do is show that, and then everybody knows he's just a D. You're just going to, when you see it, you're just like, what a grumpy old D. I mean, honestly, he just comes across as it's just got to end. Like, bro, you just got to shut it down. Honest to God. What's going to happen? Is he going to be like his, is he going to be like Patino where his son starts coaching? You know, his kid plays for him now and he's like shooting threes and everything. In a year, he'll be finished in basketball. He won't be playing in the NBA, but he'll be coaching, right? And then he'll be coaching against his son. Because some of these guys just don't know when to say when. Fair enough. Carver Hyde, I mean, would you, how long has that dude? Now, listen, people will say I'm crazy.
He'll do say, it forever.
What is this guy talking? What about this guy talking about Boeheim? Like he should go away. Like, has he not coached for like 1,500 games and like, or 15,000 games? I can't even keep track of it. I know he's got over 900 wins, whatever it is. He, Knight, Williams, those guys all are well over it, right? And Williams just the other day, but take a look, Bob Knight, what he did. And Boeheim's right there, right? And Boeheim, has he not like said he was going to retire like 10 times and that they had the whole thing planned out, who was going to succeed him and everything else? All those people ended up jumping off a cliff waiting for this guy to retire. Seriously, honestly, like the only thing that makes him even remotely look like he can still stand there and coach is that he wears like tennis shoes now when he's standing on the sideline. I saw him the other day, looked like he had Skechers on. I was like, dude, what is happening here? He's got the Howie Long inserts on.
Yeah.
Your boy's well, got
the one guy was with him forever.
Inserts.
Yeah. The one guy Hopkins was with him forever. I mean, that was his assistant for like 15, 20 years, the guy Mike Hopkins, and then I guess eventually
become a murderer or something?
No, well, eventually he couldn't wait around any longer for Jim to finally pack it in.
Right.
So he took the Washington job a few years ago. So he's the Husky. Washington Husky. Yeah, he's the Husky head coach.
He had to move 3,000 miles away.
He had to go on the complete other side of the country from Syracuse. He had to go up to Seattle and coach the Huskies to get away from him.
He grew a beard, started smoking weed, doing psychedelics because he had to get away from Jim Boeheim. What was the other one that was that they accused of? Remember all the sexual stuff? What happened there?
Yeah, that was something completely different. I'll get you that gentleman's name.
Well, that's another story entirely. What? Like, shouldn't that have done him in? Shouldn't that have, like, you know, lack of institutional control? People are like, can you believe this guy's talking about this? This guy?
That was, you know,
I haven't even started getting into him eating his own boogers yet.
That was Bernie Fine.
Oh, Bernie.
Remember that story?
There? No, refresh my memory. I know it was something kinky.
Former Syracuse basketball coach Bernie Fine sued for alleged sexual assault. Yeah, I remember this. He was fired in 2011 that he sexually assaulted two former ball boys and another youth. Fine denied the allegations. God. He was with the university for 34 years. That was probably about 10 years ago that happened. 8, 9, 10 years ago, that story with Bernie Fine.
And what did Bayheim say? I didn't even know him.
Well, I can't say that. He was with the school for 34 years. He couldn't say he didn't know him, but
I was really busy that during that stretch of 34 years because I've been coaching now 70. I've been coaching at Syracuse 70 years straight. No, was it great? Did I not say like what a month ago or something like that? Didn't I say on TV that the best thing I've seen in the entire COVID year was him eating his boogers?
That he 100% like, you know, did do.
He was munching his action. He had it all going. Now, listen, I won't deny that at some level, some day of the month, picking your nose is a terrific option in the car, at home, wherever. But I've never been particularly fond of cranking the action in my mouth and chewing on it and eating it. I'm just not set up for that. I'm not. That's not in my bones, Carver. I just thinking about it makes me want to start coughing, choking. Oh, I might die.
You all right there?
I started eating. No, if I started eating my own boogers, you don't think I'd break into like some kind of illness?
Probably.
Was there anything better than seeing Jim Boeheim working a Jimmy on his action? He had it all going. I was like, this is awesome. I've never been a fan. I was a fan the other night, though, when they beat Carolina by 2. It was straight pick 'em.
Never shed a tear when Carolina loses. That's for sure.
Not really. How about that guy? He's another one that goes at it with you know, student reporters who covers their
games. Well, all the old guys do now. All the old guys do. We've had it with Coach K this year. We've had it with Roy Williams. We've had it with Boeheim. All the guys that have been around for 1,000 years. That's who's doing it.
They're the ones that are getting all kinds of grumpy.
But they're also all having bad years, which they're not used to either.
Right. Do you think that they're because like when I covered Indiana, right? When I was in Bloomington, there was a lot of college reporters, right? That and college student reporters and stuff like that that covered him and went to his press conferences. And then there were the Indianapolis and the Bloomington, the actual newspaper and reporters and you know, TV and whatever, and Indianapolis TV all covered the Indiana Hoosiers and Bob Knight when they were a commodity in college basketball, and they were, you know, one of the best always, certainly in the 80s. You know, 70s and 80s, Bob Knight, you know, won national championships. He got it done 3 times. All I know is they cover these guys. There's kids in there. It seems like when Williams is treating these guys bad, and when I see Boeheim treating them bad, you know, tonight him making fun of this guy's size was almost, it was hilarious. Like, it was such a D move. And then Roy Williams going at it with some student reporter. That's my point. Like, you know, it's over. Seriously, like as an adult, I used to think I'd be sitting there as a kid, right? When I was 18 to 22 years old, I covered him, whatever. And I was like, I would sit there and I was amazed because I wanted to be around him. I wanted to go to Indiana to be around Bob Knight and to work for Bob Knight type thing. And I did. Right. And so I was fascinated by actually how badly he treated people. I thought it was a fascinating case study in like grow up fastville. There's no being soft in this situation right here that I'm in, because this guy was absolutely a tyrant and a lunatic, and he was nuts, but he was brilliant and he was great at what he did, and he controlled everything. He ran everything. You did it his way, and he won, and he won championships, and he, you know, coached Olympics and did everything. He did it all. He didn't need to coach in the NBA. He didn't need to, but he did everything in college you can fathom. and he intimidated reporters. He was notorious for intimidating them. And it got really difficult for people to go to his press conferences, and particularly at the NCAA tournament time when he would start bringing out bullwhips and stuff. He was crazy. He was absolutely maniacal. And nowadays, these guys are carrying on the torch. Williams, Boeheim, they're all grumpy and bitter and mean to kids, student journalists, and regular reporters. They can't stand him. It's Boeheim. It's written all over him. That little outburst tonight against that reporter when he won by 20 or whatever the hell they won by, they blew him out tonight. You'd think the guy would be nice. Instead, he's a complete asshat in the press conference. And I think you have to look at yourself in the mirror at some point and go, you know what? I look like a complete idiot now doing this. There's something wrong with me that I'm treating people this way at my age. It's time to shut it down. It's over. When you start being a D every day and no one can stand you, it's time to shut it down. I don't care what anybody says. All you have to do is watch those guys ripping shreds to these young kids and reporters and whoever reporters, even if they're adult reporters. Nobody should have to take that crap. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't take it. And then when I met Bam, I said, "Night kicked your ass, bro." All right, so Kings lead the Lakers 98-97, 8 minutes left. And then beginning of the fourth, they're about a couple minutes in. The Blazers are down 88-87 to the Warriors, who seldom come out to play. They're playing at the Moda in Rip City. Good games going on there. Now tomorrow, I just wanted to – oh, by the way, it's USC 59-19 on Stanford right now. Moorhead up 42-37 on Southeast Missouri State. Good game, 9 minutes left there. Nova by 12 over Creighton. The coach at Creighton having all kinds of problems. McDermott, right, he said something about a plantation, got everybody all up in arms. And he offered to resign. That did not happen, but apparently he offered to resign. It got so sticky at Creighton with the comments that he made. Nova beat him by 12 tonight in Philadelphia. Florida State blew out BC 93-64. So much for BC giving Florida State a game. Now, tomorrow at 11 a.m., it starts up A-10 games. Duquesne and Richmond, NBC Sports Channel, 11 a.m., Richmond laying 5.5. And then St. Joe's and UMass follow that one at 1. And then at 3:30, Rhode Island and Dayton. And they move those games, right? Like GW and George Mason's at 5:30. I think they moved those Carver High because of it would have been at the Barclays in Brooklyn. They're not playing there, are they?
No, they're in Virginia. I'm not sure where in Virginia they're playing, but they moved the tournament to Virginia.
My sister lives in Virginia. Stay away from my sister. Michigan State and Michigan tomorrow night at 7. Oklahoma State and Baylor's even better. The Cowboys and the Bears in Waco, 7 o'clock on the deuce. Doesn't get any better than that. All the other games suck compared to that game. Although Texas-Oklahoma's not too bad. Arizona State and Colorado. I'll see you at 4 p.m. East, 1 West on Coast to Coast on Sports Grid. Carver High, good job. I'll see you. Good night.